Welcome to Deconstructed. I'm TJ O'Hara, the principal political analyst for IVN, the Independent Voter Network. Our goal on Deconstructed is to break down important political issues with outstanding guests so you can develop your own more informed opinion. My guests today are Lori Thiel and Jennifer Avena. Lori Thiel is president of the League of Women Voters of San Diego. The League of Women Voters is a national nonpartisan political organization that encourages informed and active participation in government. It works to increase our understanding of major public policy issues and influences public policy through education and advocacy. The League is a special organization that works towards a democracy where every person has the desire, the right, the knowledge, and the confidence to participate. Jennifer Avena is an attorney and ardent believer in the mission of the League of Women Voters to ensure voters are empowered to cast their ballots. She currently coordinates League of Women Voters San Diego's youth internship program and the 101 Days of Action campaign that provides daily activities related to the upcoming election. Lori and Jennifer, welcome to Deconstructed.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Lori, let's start with you. What is the League of Women Voters' history when it comes to voter empowerment?
Well, this is a very special year for us. 2020 is an unusual year in a lot of ways, as we know. We have a general election this year that is also the 100th anniversary of the founding of our organization, the League of Women Voters. We were founded in February of 1920 in anticipation of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. That amendment was ratified in August, and our organization was around and established by the time that passage occurred so that the women who were new voters could be informed and feel confident and supported in their newfound right to vote in our democracy. So that's the history of us. Like I said, we were founded to support voting, voter rights, and in the 100 years since our founding, we have remained staunchly nonpartisan. Our organization has never supported or opposed a political party or candidate. And we have also branched out to do a little bit more than mere voter support. We take positions on issues. We analyze legislation. We have committees that do research. And we involve ourselves in a lot of political activism that is nonpartisan.
What is the League doing today with regard to voting resources, for example? We're in a much more complex environment when it comes to this year's election. What is the League doing to address that?
The League is a national organization, and we're tiered throughout this country. So we have a national organization, the LWVUS, and it promotes voter rights and voter education and information. And so it has its own website where it provides information for voters. And then, of course, each state has a state league. So in California, of course, it would be the League of Women Voters of California. And that organization, too, has its own website that promotes voting and voter empowerment. Here in San Diego, we are the League of Women Voters of San Diego, and we have a lot of voting resources for our members and the community at large. So we have a very robust website that it seems like we're adding to almost daily. We find new opportunities to provide voters information and give them the tools they need to cast an informed ballot. So we have an entire page on our website called Voting Resources, and it starts with one of our major and most perhaps important offering. It's an online voter guide. It's called Voter's Edge. And again, as I mentioned before, it's nonpartisan. This is a voting guide that we work in collaboration with MapLight on, and it's customized to your particular ballot. So if a voter goes into our website and clicks on voting resources, the very first item they will see is a link to Voter's Edge. And when you click it and you go there, the landing page asks for your address and your zip code. And as soon as you type that in, you will be taken directly to your ballot with all the ballot measures that you will see on your ballot when it arrives in the mail, as well as information on those particular initiatives or ballot measures. So you as a voter can go straight there, read through each of the ballot measures, read the pros and cons of each of them. We also disseminate financial information on there so you can learn which organizations have funded these propositions and ballot measures, which is, as you know, rather telling sometimes if you can see where the money's coming from. And that tool also provides the opportunity for you as the voter to actually create a sample ballot for yourself. So as you go through it and you read these, and often in cases, very complex propositions, you can just kind of vote as you go and just keep track of what your thoughts are about these particular ballot measures and propositions and mark your ballot in a sample. When your official ballot comes, you can refer to your sample ballot that you've created on our Voters Edge website. So it's a really great tool. It's very useful. And it's just one of the many, many, many voter resources we have on our website page here in San Diego.
Well, I'll personally endorse Voters Edge. It's a go-to resource. I visit that quite frequently, almost every election. It is nonpartisan, and it really allows you to digest particularly what's behind the issues and gives you insight into the candidates as well. Now, if I was voting for the first time, you have a resource that would help me choose a political party without guiding me towards the party, don't you?
Absolutely. We, on that very same page, we have a PDF that you can download or view right on your screen. It's called How to Choose a Political Party. That little flyer or poster was created, believe it or not, with the actual input of and help from political parties in California. So the LWV of California worked with the party heads to create this material, this resource that the party heads themselves have agreed accurately reflects and defines and describes their party and how the party operates. So if you are a new voter, you're not really sure where you fit in this political spectrum, you can just click on the How to Choose a Political Party link, and it'll take you through a really quick rundown on what each of the parties stand for and how they like to move forward and perceive themselves in the political environment. I mean, while we're talking about easy things to take a quick look at, there's also something on that very same page called the Easy Voter Guide. It is not as in-depth as the Voters Edge online resource that I just referenced. It's just a PDF. It's a really quick breakdown of the propositions. So if you want just the facts, you don't want to dive in and read the pros and cons and get the financial analysis and read all the in-depth information that goes along with a lot of these ballot measures and the legislation here, you can just click on the Easy Voter Guide. Just a really quick review of what the top line information is regarding each of the propositions, and that will help you perhaps find your way through your ballot. And it comes in different languages as well. The link will take you to a page that provides the voter guide in English, Spanish, Chinese, Vietnamese, and Korean.
Now, your website is somewhat of a one-stop shop as well. Again, if I was registering for the first time, or if I had just moved into an area, you help with the registration process. You would provide guidance relative to vote by mail issues, which are significant this year. You even take care of issues such as overseas voting if I'm going to be out of the country, don't you?
Absolutely. We have tried to anticipate every eventuality, although it's almost impossible to do. But we've provided resources on that single page for pretty much every question we could think that a voter might have, from how to register online, not only a link to get you to online voter registration, but an actual step-by-step video that we created to walk you through the actual online registration process. So we don't just give you the link and say, here, good luck. We will literally walk you through each of the steps on the online registration form. But in addition, regardless of all the ideas we've come up with, all the questions we've formulated, you know, we've been at this a long time, so we feel like we've heard a lot of it. But every year, I'm still surprised by some of the questions that occur and some information that perhaps has changed since the last time I was working on voter registration, or perhaps a nuance that I had forgotten, et cetera. In that eventuality, if you scroll through our voter resources page and you don't find the answer to your question, we've actually created a hotline this year. And that number is on that page as well. And you can just give us a call and talk to a live person.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and talk more about what's different about voting this year when we come back. Welcome back. My guests today are Lori Thiel, president of the League of Women Voters of San Diego, and Jennifer Avena, an attorney and member of the League of Women Voters. Jenny, let's begin this conversation with you. What's different about this year's election? What makes it different from those in the recent past?
That's a great question. It is really different this year. First, people are just intensely interested in this election, and that's obviously because of the presidential race. But there's other reasons like the interest and awareness on criminal justice issues, climate change, healthcare, that the events of the past 6 months have just really brought to the forefront for everyone. So all of that interest is great. We really want that. But we're also in a time of extreme polarization. And unfortunately, there are massive amounts of myths and disinformation out there. So when you put all of that together, it can make it really difficult to make sure that voters are getting correct information. So an example to illustrate one of my points is that on social media a few weeks back, right around when the stories about the post office changing some of their policies were the hot topic, a friend of mine had posted a link to all the drop boxes in San Diego County to return your ballot to. Unfortunately, the list was from the March primary and it was completely inaccurate. So I was able to work with the Registrar of Voters to get that removed quickly. But by then, many people had already shared it on social media. So that misinformation is probably not going to be too damaging to the election process, but you can see how it illustrates how difficult it is to get accurate and reliable information out there. And then when you compound the problem in an effort to keep voters safe and to give them options for voting that they feel comfortable with during the pandemic, we see a lot of changes in the way that we traditionally vote. So when you put that all together, it's a lot. And I know that we at the League are working overtime and have been for the last 2 months to plan and get info out to people. The Registrar of Voters, who we work closely with, has a wonderful voter information campaign that's larger than anything we've seen out there from them previously, and that's called Vote Safe for San Diego. Those are some of the things that we're working with in this election.
Where and when can people vote?
First, I want to reiterate that we do work closely with the San Diego Registrar of Voters so that our league is sure we're sharing accurate information. But of course, the best source of election information is always going to be directly from your elections officials. So you can always go to the Registrar of Voters website at sdvote.com to get the most up-to-date and accurate information. But this election, voters will be able to cast the ballot either by mail or in person. One really important point is that every active registered California voter will receive a ballot in the mail sent to the address that the voter gave when they registered to vote. So to reiterate, Californians do not need to request a vote by mail or an absentee ballot to get one this election. Every voter will automatically receive a vote by mail ballot. So a couple of things that voters should do in preparation for that is that the Registrar of Voters is recommending that every voter check their registration to ensure that their address is accurate and your registration is up to date. And you can do that at sdvote.com to make sure that your ballot's going to be sent to the address you want. If for some reason that address is incorrect or you can't find your registration or you're just not sure if you're registered, you want to go ahead and re-register at sdvote.com. That way you know everything is accurate and you're ready to get your ballot. So everyone's going to get a mail-in ballot. That's very important. But there will also be in-person voting. In-person voting is going to look a little different than it has in past elections, but people will still have the opportunity to vote in person. Instead of just one day of voting, there's going to be 4 days of voting, October 31st until November 3rd. And people can come to the polling location that they're assigned to and vote whether they've brought their mail-in ballot with them to turn in or not. So people will have both of those options, mail-in ballot or in-person voting.
And how can people be comfortable that their vote will count this year?
So there's been a lot of questions about election security and vote-by-mail ballot security. However, particularly in California, I think we're pretty well covered here. And that's in part because California has been doing vote-by-mail ballots for a long time. Approximately 75% of people get a vote-by-mail ballot in San Diego prior to this election. So ramping up to 100% of people getting the ballot in the mail is not as challenging as maybe some other jurisdictions where vote-by-mail wasn't that prevalent previously. So that's one reason people can feel more confident in the vote-by-mail system here in California. Another thing that voters can do is they can actually track their ballot through the Where's My Ballot program that the California Secretary of State has set up. This is a ballot track system that allows voters to know what stage their mail-in ballots are at. Voters should go to wheresmyballot.sos.ca.gov to sign up for alerts that will tell them when their ballot has been mailed to them, when their ballot's been received by elections officials, when their ballot has been counted, and also if there's any problems with their ballot, such as a signature mismatch. And that's really important because approximately 25% of the ballots that were rejected in the March primary were rejected because they didn't have a signature on the outer envelope of the mail-in ballot, where that signature didn't match what the election officials have on file. So with ballot tracks, the registrar of voters will send you a note saying, hey, there's something going on with your ballot. We need you to give us a call. You need to let us know so we can make sure that your ballot gets counted. So that's another great way that people can be sure their ballot is where they think it is and that it's getting counted.
Thank you for that. How has COVID-19 affected voter outreach efforts?
Well, we've really seen the biggest challenge now is because we don't have large events to go to. It's really hard to connect with people that maybe are newer voters or occasional voters because most of the advocacy has really moved online into the social media space. So it's been tricky to get that information out to voters. And part of that is because so many organizations are out there doing social media postings and activism has become huge. But all of those messages have to compete with mis- and disinformation, as well as everything else that's going on in the world that ends up on your social feed. So some of that doesn't get through. And by losing that ability to reach large groups by attending events, particularly over the summer where you might be at a festival or a concert, we've not just lost the ability to physically be in front of thousands of people, but also we don't have the opportunity to draw people in and to get them interested in voting by sort of, you know, handing out swag or hosting a beer tasting or something like that. People like Lori and I are really drawn to talking about voting for fun, but I don't really think that's the norm for most people, although maybe more people are now. And really, you need to have something else to bring people out, kind of get them interested in what's going on with voting and create that habit. So we really miss that aspect of being able to be out in the public during the pandemic.
With those types of restrictions, what is your best suggestion of how people can help get out to vote?
Ultimately, we really need the general public to all have a piece of doing voter outreach more than ever in this election. You know, if every listener of your podcast reached out to 5 people that they think maybe aren't regular voters, that would be huge. There would be a huge impact there. And people don't have to get political. I think a lot of times we get nervous to reach out to people and talk about political issues, particularly right now. But you can just ask someone if they're all set to vote or if they have a voting plan and maybe give suggestions or resources for them if they aren't quite ready to go out and vote yet. Because research has shown that really the most effective way to engage more voters is to have someone that they know and trust give them a little bit of a nudge. So maybe check with your college-age niece and make sure she's all set to vote, or offer to go with your neighbor to a polling location and grab breakfast afterwards. That's really how we're going to ensure that every voter has their voice heard at the ballot box. One of my favorite activities that I do every election cycle is to host a ballot party. Unfortunately, my ballot party will be virtual this year, but we'll still have a lot of fun, and it will bring together a lot of my family and friends that maybe don't know as much about ballot measures. And we just talk about what's on the ballot. We don't get real controversial, but we just have fun with it. And that's something that you can use some of our resources on our website to help you host your own ballot party and walk through the proposition.
Those are great suggestions. And Lori and Jenny, we're going to take a quick break and talk about some of the league's specific initiatives when we come back. Welcome back. My guests today are Lori Thiel, president of the League of Women Voters of San Diego, and Jennifer Avena, an attorney and member of the League of Women Voters. Lori, one of the things that the League is doing is conducting candidate forums. Can you give us an overview of what a candidate forum is like, particularly in today's environment?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Well, as many people know, the League of Women Voters was an original participant or moderator of the presidential debate until the 80s. And now our local league will continue to practice that same type of nonpartisan moderating, and we host what we call candidate forums. And this is a situation whereby an organization, for example, will contact us and request our participation. So we will organize an event for them whereby we provide a nonpartisan moderator who will come in and ask the candidates a series of pre-decided or predetermined questions. That forum also uses the rules by which the league hosts these events, including a timekeeper to ensure that all the candidates who are participating get equal time for their messaging. We also have question screeners who take questions from the audience after we have our opportunities for the candidates to discuss the pre-decided questions. We'll allow the audience to provide questions to us. We curate those questions. We don't allow our audience members to stand up and speak into the mic in real life or on these virtual candidate forums. We don't provide that opportunity for them, but we do give them the opportunity to submit a question, and we will review it and make sure that we cover the ideas behind those questions. So if you want to go to a candidate forum, I invite you to head over to our website. It's lwvsandiego.org, and you will see right on the landing page an entire list of upcoming meetings and events. And you will see candidate forums there that we are hosting and moderating, including an opportunity for everybody who wants to join in or participate in and see how our mayoral candidates are answering questions here in San Diego. We are doing a joint candidate forum with the Women's March San Diego organization. That's October 15th at 4 p.m. So that's going to be a big one. We'll have a lot of people signing in, logging on, and joining in and watching us moderate that candidate forum. So I invite everybody to go and take a look and participate.
Now, Jenny, you're heading the 101 Days of Action campaign. Can you share with the audience what that campaign's about and what those types of actions are?
Sure. This is a social media and email campaign that one of our newer members had suggested to us back in June. And we thought it was a really important and fantastic idea, mainly because we so often hear from people, what can I do? And often people come to the league looking to do maybe voter registration, because that's the thing that seems to be most commonly emphasized in a lot of voter outreach. And that's very important for sure. But there's so much more to voter outreach and creating an environment where people feel ready to vote. So the 101 Days of Action list meant to give people a way to really feel like they are contributing to the issues that are surrounding the election. So many people right now are interested, as we talked about, in what's going on, and they just want to feel like they're taking some sort of an action that has meaning. We aim for actions that are concrete and they really have an effect, and that they can also be completed fairly easily. We encourage people to share the voting information. We provide advocacy for particular issues that the league has a position on. And sometimes we ask people to learn a little bit more about a topic. Not every action is going to appeal to everyone, but usually there's something in there that everybody can find that's of interest to them and speaks to them. Some of the actions have included accurate information about voting that we ask people to share so that we can get out there in front of some of the disinformation in an action called pre-bunking, which is the idea of getting good information that's accurate and reliable out into the social media world before people get inundated by information that isn't correct. So we do that pretty much weekly. We also have done advocacy on some of the state legislation in the last month. And then coming up, we're going to start giving information about the state propositions in easy, manageable, bite-sized information that people can then share with those around them so that we can get more people feeling comfortable about those propositions and what's on the ballot.
Excellent.
I'd like to add to that. Sorry to interrupt. I do want to point out that one of the reasons we named it 101 Days, when we first began to discuss this, it was 100 Days of Action. So it was a countdown to the campaign. But Jenny and I, in a conversation one day, realized that a lot of people think that after they've cast their ballot, that their work is done. And we wanted to make sure that we shared the information or the understanding that, no, your work has just begun. So it's 101 days. We take you one day past the election so that our viewers and our readers and our subscribers to 101 days realize that there's still work to do. You still have to follow up on the people you elected. You still have to look at the legislation and ensure that it's implemented. There's just more work to do. And another idea behind 101 days, it's not just about voting, although it's obviously 101 days of pre-election and one day post. But, you know, we want to try to give people an opportunity to learn how to be active citizens. So some of the content that Jenny has pulled together includes how to contact your city council, or what does the Board of Supervisors do and why does it matter to you? So these are things that our viewers learn and can take with them after the election and continue to institute in their daily lives as good citizens here in San Diego.
Great points, Lori. Now, you also have an initiative called Prop Talks. What does that entail?
Yes. Well, that is a signature event as well, just like Candidate Forums. The League, as we've discussed, is a nonpartisan organization that helps voting information so that people can feel confident that they're making an informed vote. So one of the things that we do every election cycle is we go out into the community. Well, first of all, we educate ourselves to the content of the measures and propositions on our ballot. And that's an intense process, and it takes a lot of hours of research, and it includes a lot of discussion and meetings where we go through the legislation and we share our information about it with each other. We do research on the background of these ballot measures and propositions to try to determine and provide information to each other on how they came to be on the ballot. As I mentioned earlier, who's funding them? Was it a citizens' initiative? Was it a legislator who brought it forward? Just details that you wouldn't necessarily automatically have at your fingertips. And then we go out into the community and we share that information with the interested parties. So in real life, back in the March primary, for example, we would go, our entire Speakers Bureau team who specialize in prop talks would go out into the community. We would discuss each of the propositions or ballot measures, and we would take questions as we went, because depending on who is in your audience and where you are geographically, you might have people who are interested in a particular aspect of a proposition or a piece of legislation, and they want to drill down on that. And so our team goes out and we deliver the information. We field questions. We answer them. Hopefully we have great answers. If we don't, we are very cautious and we explain that we don't have that information. A lot of times when I go out, I will take notes, and maybe at the break, I'll go and review and do some research if it's a question that I don't have what I feel is a confident answer to. So yeah, we're doing that again this year. This year, they're all virtual. We've already had people request our information and to sign up for these and have us come to speak to their clubs and organizations. But in addition, this year, we are hosting a league-sponsored one on October 3rd. It's going to be Jenny and me, as it turns out. She and I are going to be hosting a prop talk. We're going to go through all the ballot measures for the city of San Diego and the propositions, the state props, and we're going to review them, discuss the pros and cons of each of them, and we'll take questions during that talk as well, in the hopes that it will be a pretty robust conversation. We're recording it too, that people can go back to and review and perhaps help them when they start to fill out their ballot.
Well, Lori and Jenny, in the limited amount of time we have left, where can our listeners go to find out more about you and the League of Women Voters' various initiatives and how to get involved? And Lori, let's start with you.
Great, thank you. As I mentioned, we have a website. It's very robust. It's lwvsandiego.org. The landing page has an opportunity to direct the viewer to all of our great resources. I do want to shout out the 101 Days of Action. Like Jenny was saying, it gives our viewers every day an opportunity to participate in their democracy. We have really bite-sized chunks of what you can do today to make this a better place to vote, a better place to live. That, if you go to our website, item 2, it's right under the About section regarding the League of Women Voters. It'll take you right to a sign up, and you can also look at previous days of action if you haven't had a chance to look at those prior, or if you're just signing up and you want to see what we've done, you can go and take a look at those as well. We have a segment there called Upcoming Events, where you can see all the events that we're going to be supporting, including voter registration training. That's Jenny. She can talk a little bit more about that, as well as candidate forums. We have discussions. We used to call them Lunch with the League. Now they're live webinars. We have information about events regarding how to choose a judge, you know, what the U.S. Constitution says about fair and impartial courts. Our website is just very robust. I invite everybody to go and just spend some time there. Scroll around, click through, find the voter resources, come to an event. It's really great to involve yourself in the activities of organizations like ours right now, because we're all about voter information and registering to vote and getting voters turned out. So our site, I can't recommend it enough. It's just a great resource.
And Jenny, how can our listeners follow you?
We'd love to have your listeners follow us on our social media platforms. We're on Twitter and Facebook at LWVSD, and then on Instagram at LWV San Diego. We do post our 101 Days of Action items on those social media platforms, so you can see that, as well as upcoming events and a lot of great voter information. I also want to give a shout out to sdvote.com, the website for the San Diego Registrar of Voters. In my work as an election and voting advocate, is one of the best sites I've seen from an election official in many places across the country. I would recommend going there to get your questions answered and check out what they have. Also, the California Secretary of State website has some great voting videos, a lot more information for you there as well as a voter bill of rights, where you can learn about your rights as a voter and what should be happening when you're in the polling location. So check out all of those things to make sure you're ready to cast your ballot.
Well, thank you for those links. I really appreciate all the hard work you're putting in to help make this particular voting cycle a little less challenging. You're doing important work, so keep up the great job, Lori Thiel and Jennifer Avena. I wish you continued success, and I thank you both for joining me on Deconstructed.
Well, thank you so much. It was great to have you on, and I look forward to coming back. We have lots of information to continue to share, so thank you.
Thank you.